In our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning our reading at verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. From doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Can we just unite in a word of prayer? Our gracious and our loving God, we thank thee for thy mercy already today. And we thank thee for the fact that we have thy word to instruct us. And we pray, Lord, that we might take heed to ourselves today. We pray, Lord, that we might be those that are willing to examine ourselves, and that thou wouldst just probe right into the very innermost recesses of the heart. Lord, still ourselves before thee today. We thank thee that there is cleansing in the precious blood of the Lamb, and we pray that that cleansing power might be our portion as we gather in thy presence just now. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to take as our motto text for 2008 that very last verse of Scripture that we read. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy was a young man that Paul was writing to here, a godly young man who lived in Lystra in Asia Minor, which is in modern-day Turkey. His father was a Greek and his mother was a godly Jewess, a pious Jewess. He was converted to Christianity when Paul had come the first time to Lystra. And then when Paul had returned to Lystra, Paul had selected Timothy as his companion and ordained him to be a minister or a pastor. And he had taken up that task of ministering the word of God. Now, Timothy needed advice and instruction, which was the reason why Paul was writing him this letter and the second letter, which is also in the Bible. And we find the apostle giving him good counsel here and good advice and guidance. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. And Paul gave him the advice that he should pay attention particularly to these things. And it was good advice and wise advice. And Timothy was well advised to listen to what Paul had to say to him here. Now we all stand in need of good counsel and advice. Especially good at the start of a year to listen to good advice and to hear what the Bible has to say and instruction from the Lord. And we look back on a year that has passed, and it's always a time when we take stock, when we enter into a new year. We are able to look at the things that we have done and the things that we have achieved and the things that we haven't achieved and the things that we want to achieve. And what I want us to do today is just take stock. It's very interesting, actually, that the words take heed are used 55 times in the Bible. And it's not without, it's not any coincidence that they're used so often. Because we need to take heed. The Lord knows that we as ordinary human beings are very likely and very apt just to drift. We drift along in the things of life. And we get ourselves into a rut and a way of going. And it's able to, we're just carried along with the flow and things become easy for us. And we need to sit back at times and just take stock of where we're going. And that's why Paul here and throughout the Bible, it exhorts us to take heed, lest we drift. And I would say today that the great amount of God's people, as we look at ourselves, we are drifting. We're drifting along. We're not pulling on the oars and pulling against the tide and seeking to get to the place where we need to be. We're just drifting along. And how we have the devil, and he would come with the temptations this year, and we're always in danger when we are drifting. And so I want us to take heed today. And not only do I want us to take heed today, but I want us throughout this incoming year to take this as a motto for ourselves. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There are a number of things in that text of Scripture that I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is the call that is made. He says, take heed. Now the word take heed there is a word that just means pay attention to. Pay very close attention. And you notice there's a command here. It's in the imperative. It's a command. It's not a choice. It's not an option. It's not something that we can pick or choose over. But this is the command of God. God wants you and commands you to take heed. And you notice that there are two things that we're to take heed to. We're to take heed to ourselves, and then we're to take heed to the doctrine. But I want you to notice just before we come to those things, the order in which they're put. We notice that we are to take heed to ourselves first. You know, there are many, you come across people who are very interested in doctrine, and it's good to be interested in doctrine. We'll urge you to do that in a wee minute. And it's good to know what God's word has to say. But you know, you have a certain amount of people that are so intent on dotting the theological I's and crossing the theological T's that they forget about themselves. And they read books of theology in order to get a head knowledge, but they don't have a heart knowledge. And while they have a great head knowledge of the things of God, their hearts are neglected. They will read the Bible to study out some doctrine, but they don't read the Bible devotionally in order to get the things sorted out in their own hearts and get them closer to the Lord. And that coming to the very heart of the matter in their own souls. And we can study volumes of theology and forget about ourselves. You notice that the Lord says we're to get ourselves right first. It's the heart that is to be dealt with first. And that's what we need to make sure in this incoming year. We can have great head knowledge about different things. But is our heart right? Is your heart right? Well, look at what he says that we're to get right. First of all, he says, take heed unto thyself. Now, that implies something, doesn't it? It implies that you're a danger to yourself. If you've got to take heed to yourself, and if you've got to watch yourself, It means that you could go astray, that you're in danger of getting into difficulty. Now, I don't have to prove that to you, because if you look at yourself with any degree of honesty, you'll know that that is very likely. There may be a few egotistical people who think that they never do wrong, but if we're willing to look at ourselves in honesty and with reality, you'll realize that we do things wrong, and we get ourselves into deep trouble, and if we are left to ourselves, we can get ourselves into very deep trouble indeed. But even when we admit that, we look at ourselves through rose-tinted spectacles. As I said on other occasions, you know, we can pick out the faults of other people. We can see their little weaknesses and their little idiosyncrasies. And we can see where they can go wrong and what way they react to things. But we look at ourselves and we don't see very often the things that are wrong with us. And that's the danger, you see. That's where the danger comes in. Because we can drift and not detect the fact that we are drifting. We can be going astray, and it's, you know, like the head of a triangle where two roads diverge, and when they diverge, there's only a matter of centimetres between the two roads. But as you go along the roads, they diverge more and more. And you know, we can start off and it seems as if things are not too bad. And as we go along, we become used to the road of drift, and we become used to the going astray, and we hardly detect that we're different now from what we were. I want you to look at yourself. I want us to take heed to ourselves. As we come to the start of the year, it's good to take heed. Now, that could be true of the ordinary things of life. Maybe you need to take heed about your health. Maybe you need to watch your health and look after the things of your health. Maybe you need to exercise a bit. Or maybe you are exercising too much. And sports and exercise and things like that have become too much. It may be you are eating too much. Or it may be that you're eating too little. It may be that you need to lose weight. Or it may be that you need to put a bit of weight on. There are those of you who maybe are looking after business affairs, and you need to. And you need to put things straight, and you need to put things right. It may be that there are others who are looking too much after the things of business. Now, every one of us is different, and those are just examples almost plucked out of the air. But we need to take heed to ourselves and to the things that we do, even in our day-by-day affairs. But if that is true in the day by day and the ordinary affairs of life, how much more true is it of the spiritual? You know, I want you to think of yourself just today. I just want you to put yourself to the test. Now, I don't want you to be thinking about somebody else or the person across the way, but just think about yourself. What about your soul? Are you saved, first of all? Or do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because that's the heart of our religion. We come to the cross. You know, we can never take things for granted as long as that verse is in the Scripture, or those verses in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. And it says, many, many, don't take it for granted. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you're on the road and that you're walking with God. And we'll try and help you in this a little bit further on in the service. But make sure that you are saved. You need to get saved today if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to take heed to your soul. What about your time? How much time do you and I spend over the things of God and Bible reading, studying the Word of God? How much time do you give? And is that time greater or less than it used to be? You know, we can find all the things, crowd the Word of God out, and the time that we spend with God, and as our lives go on. There are different phases and there are different kinds of things that call upon our attention as we go on in life. And when something new comes in, it's easy to have the things of God pushed out. Well, take heed to that today. If you look at yourself and you have to say, oh, yes, that thing has come in. I have a new responsibility. My children are growing up and I have to ferry them here and there and everywhere. Or they have to be taken to this place and that place. And that's something that I never had to do before. And it's pushed out the place of prayer. Take heed to your time. What about your worship? Is the time that you give to worship greater or less than it used to be? Are the meetings more or less important to you than they used to be? John Calvin once said, the first foundation of righteousness undoubtedly is the worship of God. And yet so often the worship of God in our lives is the first to go. We are made to worship God. Our function is to worship God. And we will worship God throughout the countless ages of eternity. So if we are not worshiping, if we're not at the services, then we are not giving priority to the thing that we are made for. We need to worship God. What about not only our time and our worship, but what about your desires and your longings? You know, the psalmist in Psalm 27 was able to say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It wasn't as if he had only one desire. It was that that desire was so important that it was to him the one overall desire that he had. One thing have I desired. We think of how the psalmist said, or rather the apostle Paul said, that his desire was that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowships of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Men, women, have you a desire for God and for the things of God? What are your desires like? What are your preferences as far as life is concerned? You see, what we need to do is take heed to ourselves. How do you stand as we come to the Word of God this morning? But then there's another part of this call here that we have. Not only are we to take heed to ourselves, but we're to take heed to the doctrine. Now, the doctrine simply is the teachings of the Word of God. We live in a day when many Christians don't want anything to do with doctrine and have little interest in doctrines. Many would rather have experiences, and they have little interest in studying the Word of God. As long as they feel good, that's all that really matters to many. I've spoken to people who sell Christian books. And some of them were saying to me, people, even God's people, don't read anymore. But we need to read. We need to read. And there's a library upstairs there, and there are books there. You don't even have to go and buy them. You can borrow them from the library. Take heed to reading. Give thyself to reading. And to the doctrines that we have. Get good books and study those books, because there are nuggets of truth in those books that we will find, and wonderful things that we need. You know, in Isaiah 4 and 6, it says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. And isn't that true? We're destroyed. Many, this is where all these untoward things are entering in today. This is where these innovations are being brought into churches, and pastors are thinking themselves that this is okay because it makes us feel good, and they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to stand by the Bible and the standards of the Bible, and we do need to know doctrines. We have many evangelicals today, and they're turning away from even the doctrines of the infallibility of the Scriptures and the inerrancy of the Scriptures. And they're saying, but many of the commands, they're culturally mediated. In other words, they're saying, well, that was for Paul's day, and he's speaking in the context of his day, but it's not for today. And for example, the head covering for ladies in worship that we're told about in 1 Corinthians 11. They say, but that was about Paul's day. He was writing for his own day. We don't need to hold to that today. There are those that argue about women ministers and things. And they say, well, Paul, when he wrote about women and what their position was in the church, that was his culture and his day. Well, you can dismiss anything in the Bible by saying that. You could say about the commandments, that was for Moses' day, and it's not for today. There's an undermining of the infallibility of the Scriptures. There's an undermining of the doctrine of repentance. There's an easy believism that has been preached in this day. We need to hold to the doctrines of God's precious Word. It says in 2 Timothy 4 and 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We need to avoid that. We need to avoid that. Give heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. But not only do we see in this portion of Scripture here, the text here, the call that is made, but notice the continuation that is exhorted. He goes on in the text, not only take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, but then he goes on and he says, continue in them. You see, it's not just one for one off and for something for the start of the year, but this is why we're taking this as a motto text. And it's not only for one year either, it's continue in them. See, we are at a time of year when people make New Year's resolutions, but they don't keep them. Many people made New Year's resolutions on January the 1st, and they're gone already. Actually, there was a survey done, and it said that half the people had broken their New Year's resolution by June. I was actually surprised at that half of them had kept them until June. But another survey was done in America in which it said that only 8% of the people surveyed said that they had achieved their New Year's resolution. And you know, it's easy to make a resolution, and it's easy to come to a meeting or to a convention or at a special time and say we're going to serve the Lord. It's easy to come at this time of the year and say we're going to do better. But I wonder, are we going to continue in them? You know, how do we continue in them? How will we continue in them? Well, we need, as we said, to read the Word of God. We need to draw near to God. But could I suggest this? The Bible speaks of fellowship. You think of the early church in the book of Acts, and it speaks of that day and the day of Pentecost when 3,000 were saved. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's the text that the Reverend Johnson took last night, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. You know, there's a great amount of going by the wayside because we forsake fellowship. You always find that when God's people stop coming along to the meetings, that it is the forerunner of backsliding, it's the forerunner of disaster. When you see God's people stop coming to the prayer meeting and then stop coming to the evening service, it's always a signal that there's something wrong. And if it's happened to you, there is something wrong. Make no mistake about it. You can have all the excuse you want and all the reasons that you want, but if you do that, there is something wrong. If you've gone back like that, there's something wrong. We need fellowship. And I know that some of you have children and some of you have commitments that you have to fulfill. But even with that, and there are times that you can't get round it in any way, but even with that, if there's no fellowship, if you're not meeting with God's people, even if you can't get round the Word of God, And could I say, perhaps, to the couples here with young children, say to the men folk, if you're looking after children, then let the wives out of time, because they need the fellowship. They need the fellowship. They need to get around God's word as well. And we, it is one of the weaknesses of modern Christians very often, that we don't use the means of grace that God has given to us. Thank God today that God has a blessing for us, and we can come to him. He says, continue in them. Now, maybe there are some of you here today, and you have entered into resolutions to follow the Lord in the past, and you failed in them. Don't be discouraged. The devil will use that failure to say to you, well, you failed in the past, and you'll fail in the future. And the devil will take that and say, you're a failure. You'll never do it. You've tried in the past. You've sought to do your best in the past, and you've fallen by the wayside. You can't do it. You're an absolute failure. Well, even if so, don't listen to the devil. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Continue in these things. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, and continue in them. But not only is there the call that is made and the continuation that is exhorted, but I want you to see something else in the text of Scripture. I want you to see the conclusion that is promised, because there's a wonderful promise here in the portion of Scripture. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, that's a wonderful promise, but it's a peculiar phrase too, isn't it? It says, thou shalt save thyself. Now, that sounds a little bit like salvation by works. When you look at it at the start, thou shalt save thyself. And it sounds like a wee bit of a contradiction of other portions of Scripture that says salvation is of the Lord. And the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What does he mean? Thou shalt save thyself. Well, you have to remember that salvation really is in three tenses. And salvation is when I'm saved, that's salvation in the past. When I come and confess my sins, that's when I'm saved. And many of us can look back, hallelujah, to that day when we were saved by the grace of God. But then I am being saved, because every day God is saving me, and as I walk with him, I'm being saved. And then one day he'll bring me to glory, and that's salvation in the future, when I'm glorified and brought to him. Now, it's in the second sense that Paul is speaking of here, because as we walk day by day, I am being saved. This is really the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, because when we continue in the things of God, as he says here, we are, as it were, saving ourselves. What happens? You see, the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is a very important doctrine and a misunderstood doctrine. The Westminster Confession of Faith says this, of perseverance of the saints: they whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. Those that are really saved will continue in the things of God unto the end. Now, they might backslide for a little, but they will persevere. And that's the mark of a true child of God. He perseveres in holiness. He walks as a child of God. His life is different. There are evidences. Now, that's how you know that you're saved. Are there evidences there? Are things different? Have you a desire after the things of God? Is there that desire deep down in your heart after God, a longing for God and for the things of God? You will persevere in the thing. You will continue. And by that means, you're demonstrating that you're saved. In other words, it's put in a from a human point of view, thou wilt save thyself. We need to live a life of holiness. We need to live a life of righteousness, because that's how we know that we're saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now you notice that it is put almost in from the human responsibility point of view. This text is, thou shalt save thyself. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. It's almost as if it's all in us. But that's the one side where God saves us and God keeps us. And also on the other side, the Bible says, thou shalt save thyself. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. So this year, endure. This year, continue. This year, walk in holiness. Because that is the reason, and that's the only way that you know that you're really and eternally saved. You walk in these things. But not only does it say that you'll save yourself, but it says that you'll save others. There's nothing like a holy life to speak to others. There's nothing like a life that is given to God to speak to somebody else. And it's by the example of Christians. Now we need to speak to people about the things of God. And we need to witness to them and testify to them. But you know, if you have a Christian who lives up to the standards of God's precious word and lives a life of holiness, what an attraction it is. What an attraction it is. There are many people, and you speak to them about the things of God, and they can make an excuse about this Christian and what he does, and that Christian and what he does. We need souls to be saved this year. And God forbid that my life should be a hindrance to anyone. God forbid that my life should be an excuse to any ungodly person not to heed the things of God. Our life, our example will be an attraction, will be a witness. It'll be an evangelism in itself, attracting others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's absolutely vital. And ultimately, men and women, it is the most vital thing. You know it is. That men and women come this year and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We need to make sure that our lives are fitted to that. That we have our lives honed so that we are as attractive as we can, that our lives are showing forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you that are not saved today, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.